Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you, especially if you're new to this, that right after this, we have a Zoom fellowship service that follows the message and meditation, and that you'll get a chance to interact with other Unity members, listen to music, have discussion about the talk. So it's really a chance for you to have some community around this service that we're doing. And as always, we thank everyone who gives the wonderful donations to keep supporting Unity Center of Light. And if you're new and you say, well, I would like to support you, you can click on the Show More button and it'll show you all the ways you can donate. And again, thank you for all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and it's good to be back. Welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April the 30th. The key word is simplicity. And the affirmation is, I pause to appreciate life's simplest blessings. Today, I give thanks for the simplest blessings, the small things that bring a smile to my lips and a warm feeling to my heart. A hug from a friend, a cuddle from a grandchild, or stroking the soft fur of a beloved pet fills me with awareness and love. The sudden lift I get seeing a favorite person's handwriting in the mail, or the thrill of spotting a rainbow after a cleansing rain shower, spark lasting happiness in my heart. These things and more remind me that true contentment is found in life's smallest moments, the everyday treasures that comprise daily life and draw me close to God. I focus on these simple blessings and grow in gratitude for my life's many gifts. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 144:15, and it reads, "Happy are the people to whom such blessings fall. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, like Pamela said, we've been gone for 2 weeks, and it was good to be back. And the last time I spoke was Easter. We talked about, you know, crucifixion, resurrection, and I mentioned ascension, but I said that, you know, we'd get back to it. So ascension, the name of this talk is, ascension is the gateway to truly being free. And again, I know it seems that we should be done with the components of Easter, which are crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. But again, I did promise that I would share some additional thoughts about the nature and purpose of ascension. Also, it's important to remember that Jesus was still making appearances and teaching for 40 days after the resurrection. And if you look it up, sometimes it'll say he made 8 different appearances, and sometimes it says 10 different appearances. I've even saw one source that said he made 13 different appearances. But nevertheless, he was appearing after the resurrection, before the ascension, okay? So those 40 days again were between the resurrection and the ascension, and the study of which can provide another level of understanding for our own spiritual journey. And, you know, as you know by now, I'm very interested in the mechanics of the spiritual transformational process. Now, you know, a lot of times you say the metaphysics of the spiritual transformational process, but I'm really interested in the mechanics. How is it done? You know, what are the real mechanics of the process? To me, the metaphysics are great, but they just explain, give you more detail and explain it in a metaphysical way, a different way from literal. But sometimes I still don't think it explains the mechanics of how it happens. So in my mind, it's not enough to know what the Bible said about what Jesus did or taught. We need to understand the mechanics behind the process Jesus went through so that we can apply them in our own lives. Right? So in the Easter Sunday message, we learned that crucifixion is a stage in our evolutionary spiritual process in which we consciously choose to release and let go of some fearful, angry, habitual, mental, emotional process that might be blocking our spiritual path, okay? It could also be, you know, physical addictions, you know, to food or whatever, you know, other addictions we may have that, you know, that are affecting our physical, emotional health. Or it could be any of a host of things we need or want to let go of so that we can continue evolving spiritually. So in the live discussion we have in our Sunday Zoom fellowship, each of us probably could list a whole bunch of things that we have crucified and let go in our lives already. Okay, so these processes that we are studying are really not new to us. We just may not have had a name for them, you know, sort of a scriptural name for them. So, you know, we might have crucified, let go of things in our lives, thoughts and things that were no longer serving our highest good. You know, we can think back over the things we let go of. And we could most likely share the physical, emotional struggle we experienced as we went through the process of letting go of whatever it is that is not serving our overall well-being. Okay, I've had several people panel, and I had to went to Denver for our daughter's father-in-law's funeral. And in the process, you know, many of Kobe's relatives knew that we were vegans. And so it brought up a lot of discussion about it. And people were saying, you know, some people were saying, I would really love to do that, but I just can't imagine, you know, letting go of, you know, steak and pork and blah, 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 you know. So, but they would like to. So it's a lot of things in our lives we would like to let go of, but we may struggle with the process. But with time, and whatever process we needed to use, you know, in our past, the things we did let go of, you know, whatever process we needed to use, we were eventually able to move on or to resurrect into a new state of consciousness. But even within this process of releasing and changing, there is still another step in our spiritual progression. That step is ascension. So as I shared earlier, there were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, the study of which can provide another level of understanding for our own spiritual journey. So now, the revealing word explains that ascension has to do with the progressive unfolding of our mind from physical consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So let me say it again. Ascension has to do with the progressive unfoldment of our mind from physical consciousness to spiritual consciousness, okay? And I think we all understand physical consciousness because it's that part of us that responds or reacts to physical things, thoughts, activities, or predicaments in our lives. It could be what somebody said or did that just didn't sound right or feel right to you, okay? I can share one thing we just went through just recently. When we were boarding the plane to return from Denver, Pamela and I had A position boarding, and our granddaughter, who is a minor, had C positioning boarding. Now, we've never had a problem with her boarding at the same time because she's a minor, and the airline won't let her travel by herself. So they always ask, you know, they want to know who are the adults that's traveling with the minor. And we never had a problem with that before. But this particular airline person who was checking boarding passes told our granddaughter that she had to wait for the C-listed passengers to board. Now, as you might imagine, this didn't sit well with me. But fortunately, through other circumstances, we were able to sit together for the four-hour plane ride. But I admit that I had to engage in some spiritual practices to let go of how I was feeling towards this person. Okay? Now, I share this story to demonstrate how physical consciousness engages us in the physical world and can cause reactions that can temporarily block us from the peace of God within us. So physical consciousness, engaging in physical consciousness, can block us from tapping into our spiritual consciousness. Now, here's a thought that I came up with. I just want to have all of you be able to look at it as I read it. So think of spiritual consciousness as the result of the activities of heart and mind that restructure our way of thinking and being in the world. These activities being prayer, meditation, spiritual contemplation, or whatever mind-heart practices that help you to reach transcendent states of consciousness. Transcendent meaning the ability to be in the world in the midst of some situation or circumstance while remaining in a state of spiritual well-being. Okay, and as we each know from our own life experiences, there are varying levels of situations and circumstances that can appear in our lives that can be upsetting. Okay, and I think we often use the words situation and circumstance interchangeably. But to give some clarity to these two words to help us in our spiritual journey, think of a situation as the thing that is happening right now, okay? For example, our granddaughter is not being allowed to board the plane at the same time we board. And then think of the circumstance that's created by that situation is that we may not, and for us, we may not be able to sit together, okay? Situation and then circumstance. Fortunately, we did come up with a solution that worked out as a, you know, as a pleasant circumstance. But it did create in the moment an unexpected, unpleasant situation. Okay. Now, this is just a minor example compared to some of the major situations and accompanying circumstances many of us may be dealing with. But being able to understand, you know, being able to understand and name a situation as being a situation happening in the physical realm may help us become better able to move out of our physical consciousness and into our spiritual consciousness, okay? Which gives us the ability to access the divine for guidance as how to create better circumstances, okay? So situation happens, we have to check ourselves. This is a situation. Am I engaging it with my physical consciousness or am I engaging it with my spiritual consciousness, okay? But the first thing to do is to acknowledge that here's a situation that is causing me to need to discern which of those consciousness am I going to, you know, come from, okay? However, to be able to make this shift in consciousness in the situations in our lives requires that we continuously do the spiritual work necessary, listen carefully, to structure our inner spiritual consciousness to receive us when we attempt to make the shift. Okay, now let me say that again. Okay, so this process that we're talking about, we need to do the spiritual work necessary to structure our inner spiritual consciousness to receive us when we attempt to make a shift. Otherwise, we'll not be familiar enough with the spiritual realm within us to know where to shift to. Okay. And we're going to talk more about this spiritual place within us in this lesson because it's the place in Scripture called the upper room, okay, the place where the disciples went after Jesus was crucified. So Psalm 16 speaks to the idea of how to create better circumstances from the situations in our lives. Psalm 16 says, to know God is to be joyfully content in all circumstances, because God is enough. But being able to know that God is enough comes from doing the spiritual work necessary to become mindful of the truth that no matter what the circumstance in your life, God is enough, meaning you are aware of the activity of the divine in all areas of your life. And this is enough to guide you through any circumstance. Okay? Now, this is further explained by Paul in Philippians 4:11, where Paul expresses, he says, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Okay? And yes, you know, this is a lofty goal. You know, every time we talk about these spiritual ideas, they are lofty goals. But as it's further explained in a website called Connect Us, okay, this is what it says. It says, true contentment is tested when the circumstances in your life are less than desirable. If you're only content when everything is fine, that is better than a person who is never content, no matter how good they may have it. But to be content in all circumstances, no matter what, is our spiritual goal. It is the gateway to truly being free. This kind of freedom comes from God, the divine law of your being. Okay? So let's explore the divine progression that Jesus demonstrated and that we go through. Remember, we said the Easter story is your story. Okay? So the progression is, it starts with crucifixion, which is the process of letting go of aspects of yourself that are blocking your spiritual path, whatever that may be. Okay, that's the beginning. And then the time that Jesus spent in the tomb, the tomb is the mental, emotional place where you're allowing yourself to be healed of old thinking, old emotional wounds and hurts and pains and old ways of being, okay? And you're doing that so that you can elevate above the way you used to be, above the state of mind you are letting go of. You're doing all that in preparation for your resurrection into a new way of being, okay? So crucifixion, you're letting go of stuff. And think in your life how you've let go of, you know, I got to let go of this, you know. A simple example means, you know, you're going to stop eating so much sweets or whatever it might be, okay? But whatever it is in your life, you're letting this go. When we do this letting go, even though we want to let it go, it creates some turmoil. So then we go into the tomb mode where we're allowing ourselves to be with the emotions, but at the same time, you know, rise above them, okay? And in doing that, in preparation for the resurrection into a new way of being. Now, this is what the revealing word explains. It says, the crucifixion takes place in us. Oh, thank you. The resurrection takes place in us every time we raise our thinking to Jesus' realization of the perpetual indwelling life that's connecting us with God. So when this happens, a new flood of life comes into us when we open our minds and bodies to be healed by the living Word of God, okay? So in this explanation, we're using the name Jesus as the example that showed us the way. It seems that, you know, as human beings, our nature is to look for a mentor for whatever it is we're striving for, okay, striving to do, okay? So in this particular path, we see Jesus as our way shower for connecting us with God. Now, as we read in John 14:6, Jesus expressed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Meaning, by way of the path that I am teaching and showing you. Now, yes, we are conscious of the fact that there are other paths, and sometimes you hear me mention other paths. And it's important to follow the path that you resonate with. This is the path that we have chosen, following the teachings of Jesus. Okay? So let's dive into the concept of ascension. As we read in the beginning, it was 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and ascension. The number 40 is mentioned in Scripture 146 times. And it generally symbolizes a period of being tested, of going through a trial, of, you know, probation. It's kind of a probation period. And yet, you know, and yes, so we have all had success in letting go of our old ways and successfully resurrecting into a new state of consciousness. If you think back, you can think of times, stuff that you were caught up in, mental, emotional, physical stuff that you were able to let go of and resurrect from, okay? But I think we have also experienced that after going through the process of letting go and the renewal of ourselves to get into a better headspace, There have still been times when our old urges arise from deep within our subconscious realm of mind, beckoning us to return to all our old ways of being, our old thoughts and habits, you know, stuff that we thought we moved on to from. But you know, it's happening. We moved on from it. But if it's still embedded somewhere in the subconscious realm of mind, something in the physical world, the physical your life, can push a button that can cause that stuff to pop up again. And you might say, I thought I was over that, okay? But here it is, it popped up again. And this could mean that resurrection is not the final step. Actually, ascension is. See, ascension being, when we ascend or evolve to a new state of consciousness that is no longer capable of entertaining old states of consciousness. And every one of us can think back on how we used to be, okay? Things we used to do, old ways of being that we couldn't even imagine in our lives right now. You could, you know, somebody might bring it up to you, hadn't seen you in a long time, said, man, remember you used to be like something? You kind of go, wow, I've really forgotten about that because that is just not how I am right now. Okay, it's sort of like the Shawshank Redemption movie where Morgan Freeman was in prison for a long time, and he was in the parole board meeting, and they asked him, well, had he been rehabilitated? And he said, rehabilitated? No, I haven't been rehabilitated. That 19-year-old that killed that man, you know, 50 years ago is dead and gone. This is not the person you see sitting in front of you, is a whole other being. And many of us have gone through that, you know. Well, what we used to do, that person's totally gone. So those are the aspects of ourselves we have ascended from when it is totally out of our mind, body, and soul. Okay? They no longer exist within us. And if they do, we're at a state of consciousness where they no longer have any power over us. Okay, so we're kind of looking at the mechanics again. All the dynamics of what our mental, emotional, spiritual sense of being might have to do with, you know, bring us back to old stuff. But we can get to a place where stuff we've really let go of, at this point, it no longer has any power over us. So the process of ascension happens in us in 3 degrees or states of consciousness. The first stage or degree is physical, the I am me and I am right stage. As I shared with Pam, it was a t-shirt I saw that says, I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. It's okay with me if you don't want to be right. Okay? So then comes the psychic stage, where a person connects with his or her spiritual soul, the I am listening God stage. Okay? This is where you begin to let go of the need to be right. You just listen, both to your higher self, and you compassionately listen to others. And then there's a spiritual stage. All right? Now, Jesus first manifested himself as a person in the physical plane, from which he evolved to the psychic or I am stage. I and the Father are one. And finally, he ascended to pure Christ consciousness. And as we said several times before, he moved from Jesus, physical, to Jesus Christ, one who knows his divine connection to God, to Christ, and then he moved to Christ Jesus, one who has fully ascended from physical or personal consciousness to Christ consciousness. Okay. Now, it is possible and probable that each one of us are at various stages of ascension in various aspects of our lives, okay? Let's look at what those might be. So there are thoughts and things about ourselves we hold on to physically and emotionally, okay? But there are also thoughts and things about ourselves and our lives we know connect us to God. So there's some things we just can't let go of, but there's in other aspects of our life, we know we're connected to God. And there are thoughts and things that we know are no longer a part of us because we have ascended beyond them. We are free of them, okay? So we are in various stages of ascension in various aspects of our lives. you know, depending on how much we are working on this process of ascension, okay? We go through multiple crucifixions, multiple resurrections, but it's not done after the resurrection. The next part of that is to ascend to a level of consciousness that is above that, okay? And the question we each must ponder in this lesson is, do I really want to be free? Because to be free, to truly be free, takes a tremendous amount of work and courage and discipline, which is most likely why Jesus remained for 40 days after the resurrection to give his disciples additional advanced training to help them in their own transformation, okay? Because the disciples, you know, like many of us, were hard-headed, right? And had a difficult time understanding what Jesus was trying to convey. But to their credit, they at least understood the importance of returning to the upper room, meaning they each had done the work to structure their spiritual consciousness, what we were talking about earlier. What we're saying is the scripture calls it the upper room. So they had structured that upper room. So in their pain and sorrow of losing their master, okay, on the physical realm, they at least were spiritually advanced enough to return to the upper room, okay? And again, the upper room is a state of consciousness that's vibrant with spiritual energy. So no matter what is happening in our lives, how devastating it might be, if we have structured our spiritual consciousness, structured our upper room, we know where to go, okay? We know where to go to get that vibrant spiritual energy. And some may say, well, you know, we don't have to structure the upper room. Our spiritual consciousness has always been there. Well, that's true, but it's like if you were going shopping for a house, and all of a sudden you find the house, the one that really touches your heart, mind, spirit, and soul. You say, this is the house that I want, okay? Well, the house has always been there, but you just discovered it, okay? And even after you discover it, you still, when you go into it, you want to structure it to fit how you are, all right? And that's how the upper room is. The upper room is there. Our spiritual consciousness is there, you know? But just like searching for that house, a lot of times we don't know it's there. But when we find it, then we structure it so that when we step into it, we can be privy to the vibrant spiritual energy that's there, okay? So your upper room becomes vibrant with spiritual energy when you spend time daily thinking about God in your life, okay? And just like when you find that house, you will spend time daily, you know, making that house so that you just feel the divine and the wonderful energy that's in it. That's what the upper room is for us, or the spiritual consciousness, synonymous in what they are. So as we talked about earlier, it's spending time daily structuring your inner space so that when troubling situations arise in your life, you have a spiritual place to go to receive divine guidance. But if you haven't been doing the work to structure that place and stuff hits, we just wallow around in the physical realm because we don't understand where that divine place is within us. So we must do the prayer work, the meditation work. And I use those terms, but it could be many things for different ones of us. You know, like I told you, way back in the day, going and talked to Ed Rabel, it was back in the 80s, I went in the office to talk to him. I says, you know, I'm a long distance runner. Back then I was running, you know, 10, 12 miles a day. It was ridiculous. And he said, but I have a hard time sitting and meditating. He says, then meditate while you're running. Okay. So I'm saying that to you to find that way of doing your spiritual work that works for you, and do it on a daily basis, okay? And that's needed to help us structure and become familiar with our upper room so we know exactly where to go. And when your upper room is ready, the Christ, just like in Scripture, will appear and show you how to move through the situations and accompanying circumstances in your life. And it doesn't matter what our worldly challenges may be, because whatever the challenge is, when the Christ enters your upper room, you will receive the instructions you need to move effortlessly through them, freeing you from unnecessary fear and worry. And for as it is recorded in John 8:36, if the Son of God makes you free, you will be free indeed. So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation from Science of Mind magazine to think about this week. It says, I challenge my long-standing beliefs to determine their worthiness in my newly unfolding belief system. When one or more, when one no longer works for me, I choose to let it go and think a new thought that reflects my evolving spiritual nature. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Unity family, let's center ourselves. Find that comfortable space right where you are. Close your eyes or take a downward gaze. Now take in three deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue your rhythmic breathing, and as your body begins to relax, notice any part of your body that may be tense and breathe relaxation and calmness into those areas. Focus on your breathing and release any tension in your body or your mind. Let it dissolve away any worries to be released in this very moment. It is just you and the divine. This is your time of connection. So continue to relax and let my words be the words of your very own heart. God is love that has no end and a power that knows no bounds. When I remember that God's presence and power live in me and as me, I let go of worry and fear. I embrace change as I trust the power of God within me. I am one with the presence of power that is God. I feel unconditional love enfolding me, enlivening me, and enriching me. I feel that wisdom guiding me and leading me to my good. Step by step, moment by moment, I boldly step forward to a new, higher perspective. I am free. I am unlimited. Nothing stands in my way. I act with strength and compassion to bless the world and all the peace, love, and acceptance to all people everywhere. My life is enlivened and enriched by this new perspective. I am at peace. And all is well. Join me now as we make our journey to that secret place of the Most High, that place in consciousness where we experience love, joy, peace, and faith, and a place where we may enter into at any time. Here in this secret place, you may pray and receive answers to your prayers. As you slowly return from this time of prayer and meditation and re-enter your day, know deep, deep down in your heart that you are a precious child of God and only good can come to you. So in the name and nature of Jesus the Christ, we do say amen, and so it is.
was wonderful.
I love the message. Yeah, I love the message.
Thank you. All right, so this is the time when we acknowledge all of the blessings that God is bringing into our lives. So this prosperity prayer that we're getting ready to do is for ourselves. It's giving thanks to Spirit for what Spirit contributes to us, recognizing that Spirit is the source of all the good in our lives. So let's say that together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And this next is the offering blessing. It's a blessing that we use as we allow some of the prosperity and abundance that flows into our lives to flow in and support our spiritual home. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and now we have light notes.
Light notes, right. Light notes for April 30th. On Sunday, May 7th, that will be our in-person service, and it will be in person, it will be on Zoom, and it will be live streamed. Reverend Butch will give the message, and Tapora is our vocalist and musician. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Center of Light and finding out more about how the center is run, please contact Patty and Nessie. We will hold just one session on Sunday, May 21st, from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be no orientation today. And on Sunday, May 14th, Mother's Day, our speaker will be Christine Harper. The title of her talk is Mary, Myrtle, and Mom. And Dee Dee Qualls will give us an inspirational moment. On Tuesdays at 7, our Course in Miracles group meets virtually. The Course in Miracles group is a self-study thought system based on the idea that love and forgiveness are the path to healing. All are welcome to join at any time. The High Watch prayer call meets each weekday for 15 minutes. Please join us to take a prayer pause. Together we go into the silence and reconnect with Spirit and one another using silence, contemplation, affirmative prayers, and more. The Book Light Book Club is currently reading the book What If This Is Heaven by Anita Morjani. Discussion will take place virtually on Sunday, June 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. Please note that for all links, the info is in your updates and in your e-newsletter, so thank you for your patience.
All right. So,
what time is it? It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. Now let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been great having you with us today.
Yes.
We hope to see you in the Zoom session. And next week, we do apologize on Easter. We had a limited tech support group. And of course, I was speaking live, and I'm part of the tech support group, and we did not know that the live stream and the Zoom people could not hear. So we have a technician who is an expert at this, who's going to be there next Sunday. So we look forward to seeing everybody there in person. If you can't make it in person, we do perceive that we will have a great Zoom and live stream session going next week as well. But it would be wonderful to see all of you there next week
in person.
All right. All right. So have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.